Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Yeah, that was good. That was really good.
Good morning. We welcome you to worship at College Park Baptist Church. We are excited that we are together today. A few announcements that we'll make as we get started. Draw your attention to a few of the things on the calendar of events. No evening activities tonight in honor of Easter, but then our regular schedule resumes this week, including Wednesday night. So just make note of that. We are having children's time today. So after the choir sings the response, Risen Today, the children are going to meet me down here for just a few moments. A reminder, we are in the process of doing a building addition and renovation. We have concluded our presentations about the gym, about the Smith Hall renovations, and about additional renovations to the youth area, the sign out front, and also the connector. That information has been passed out, has been emailed. We are in the process of collecting pledge cards to find out the financial, the level of financial support that the church is willing to assist in. And so those cards have been mailed and emailed to you. And the deadline for those cards to be back in is April the 15th. So we invite you to please get those back in as soon as possible. If you need one of those cards, please let one of the staff know. We will be glad to help you with that. We had, for those of you that don't know, our high school mission team just returned last night at 9:30 to the church parking lot. We just completed a week-long trip to Jamaica. Folks, we could feel the prayers all the way from Winston-Salem. It was a phenomenal trip. I can't begin to convey all of the stories of how God showed up and blessed us. One of the common themes through the week is how much, you know, we went down there trying to be a blessing for the people that we were going to be ministering to, but how often the opposite was true. The children, the church that we work with, how much they blessed us. And that's true about us when we serve. God calls us to serve, and in return, he blesses us. And we were blessed. And on April the 29th, which is going to be Youth Sunday, you're going to hear a lot about that trip. Hopefully see some pictures and a video and hear mostly from the youth that went. I am overwhelmingly proud of our mission team. If you could have seen them and all the ways that they touched lives, you would be amazed. I'm just so thankful for all the prayers that were supported, the financial support, all the encouragement, all the well wishes before, and all the glad to see you backs today. Thank you. Thank you so much for everything that this church has done for our youth ministry and the Jamaica team in particular. Any other announcements or anything? I think that is all the announcements. We did have one way we want to find out who is in worship today. And the way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could fill this out, give us your name, give us your contact information, and check the appropriate boxes. Let us know a little bit about you. We ask members and guests to fill that out. Once you've filled it out, send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out on your pew. Once it gets to that last person, if you could send it back to where it got started today, we do ask, when it comes back to that first person on the pew, if you could tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for helping us with that. Guests, we thank you especially for providing us that information. We would like to give something to you. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. So if you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are. The ushers will recognize you and give you a packet of information. Inside that packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our congregation. Also, a little bit of the story, the history of College Park, and a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church. So we are blessed, especially by your presence this day. One of the things that I noticed in Jamaica, there are many differences between living here in Winston-Salem and living in St. Anne's Bay, which is where we were ministering. But there are many things we have in common. And the love of Christ between College Park and between St. Anne's Bay Baptist are the same. I thank God for the opportunity for us to worship together. You will hear lots of funny stories about worship. They worship very differently in Jamaica than we do. 3 hours long on Good Friday, they worshiped, and it didn't feel like 3 hours. It was a powerful service of worship. And I remember thinking on Good Friday how much I missed being here and being with you and worshiping with you. And so I thank God that we have this time together to celebrate our day, the day that Christ was risen and gives us purpose for life. Let us prepare for worship.
It was dark. Every day of my life was dark and heavy. My life back then, I can't even bear to even think about it. I wasn't the type of woman that you would want to befriend. I bet even everyone in the town of Magdala were a bit afraid of me. Clearly, I wasn't in my right mind. You asked me what my life was like back then, and the only way that I can describe it is captivity. I wasn't physically in prison, and I wasn't caged like an animal in the marketplace, although I'm sure that there were some that thought that I would be much better off that way. But still, I was a slave, imprisoned by sin. The loneliness was suffocating. And so then I met this man named Jesus of Nazareth. I wasn't looking for him, but I've never been the same since he found me. He completely changed me, and he drove away my tormentors. And I've never been the same. Never have I met someone so compassionate. So when he asked me to follow him, I barely hesitated when I said yes. Of course, I didn't know how to serve him. I mean, really, what can you do for a man that's fed thousands with just a few measly fish and some tiny loaves of bread? Still, I did whatever I could. I cooked. I helped out financially with what I had. Anything that was going to help the followers. From Galilee to Jerusalem, it was amazing. Watching him perform miracles and telling people about Yahweh, God, our Father. The stories that I could tell if we had the time. The day that we walked into Jerusalem, I will never forget it. People waving palm branches, shouts of Hosanna, Hosanna. There was no doubt in my mind that he was the anointed one, and I just knew that everyone else in Jerusalem believed the same thing. So I'm sure that you can only imagine my surprise when only a few days later. The way that the Roman soldiers whipped him, I will never forget it. I don't know how he survived it. And then him being put up on the cross, it's something that I wish that I could forget. It was like a never-ending nightmare. The things that he endured, no other man could have survived it. His life was not taken on the cross. It was given. After it all happened, I couldn't believe everything that had happened. How was this possible? This man that gave me new life, he was gone. what was going to happen to us. All of us that followed him, with him gone, what was going to happen? And so I watched Joseph and Nicodemus wrap him in cloth, and I was just overwhelmed by this feeling of lost hope. I mean, really, when I watched them wrap him up and put him in the tomb, it was like my hope had been buried with him. And the worst part was I had to leave because Sabbath was coming. So Sunday came, and I went along with the other women with spices and ointments to help honor the body of Jesus. And that whole time, I just kept thinking of everything that had happened and still just being unable to believe all that had occurred. And then, to even go further than that, the thought suddenly occurred to me. With him gone, this person that gave me this new life, was I going to sink back into the darkness that he had saved me from? And that thought absolutely frightened me. But then, the most amazing thing happened. And it was to the point that I didn't know who to tell. I didn't think the disciples would believe someone like me. But we got there, and suddenly there was an earthquake. And then there were angels, and this massive stone was rolled away. And inside, there was nothing but vacant cloth. It was amazing.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her.
Oh,
pray with me? Our Father in heaven, we give you praise. We worship you. We thank you. We give you honor and glory. And to you be power. Thank you for this Easter Sunday. Thank you for the gift of your Son who conquered the grave, who rose on the third day to give us life and life everlasting. His death and resurrection gives us reason to worship for the rest of eternity. And we invite you into this place to hear us, to see us, glorify your name. Be in this place, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Invite all the children. Come on down. Come on down. Come right. Come hang right here with me. All right. It's so good to see everybody. Jared, take a seat, bud. Take a seat. Need everybody crisscross applesauce for me? It's good to see you. I missed seeing y'all this last week. Does anybody know where I was? Where was I? I was in Jamaica. That's right. And do you know where Jamaica is? Does anybody know where Jamaica is? Across the ocean, yes. If you go to Florida and you go south and you hit a big island, what's that island? No, not Africa. No, that is south, but it's okay. All right, there's a big island just below Florida. What is that? Cuba. You know Cuba? And just below Cuba is a little island called Jamaica. All right. And we took a team of high school students and chaperones. And we had an amazing time. And I wanted to just take a minute to do something in front of the church to say thank you to you. Because one of the things that we did while we were in Jamaica, I need everybody sitting down, crisscross applesauce. Thank you. All right. One of the things that we did, we went into two elementary schools. They're in Jamaica in a little town called St. Anne's Bay. That was the name of the town we were in. And we got to hang out with kids just like you. They were in school. They needed a little extra help. And so our team, they would do, have you ever done multiplication flashcards? You've done those. We helped them do that. We told them stories about, we read them stories, their favorite books to their class. Some of them want to know about American culture, and so we talked to them about sports that we like and music that we like. So we got to spend some time with them. And while we were at the elementary schools, I thought about you. Do you know why? You're the same age. You do the same things. They reminded me so much of you because when they smiled, it made me feel really good. Just like when you smile, how that makes me feel good. And I remembered our team could not have gone to Jamaica without all that you did. Many of you helped us raise money to go to Jamaica. Many of you worked hard at different events to help us earn all the money to do that. And I want to say thank you. On behalf of the team, I want to say thank you. Now, but here's why I want to say thank you. This morning, Pastor Raymond, he's going to talk about God remembering his people. God remembering his people, and that's what the cross is all about. That he wanted, why did Jesus come to earth? Teach us how to live and to be thankful for what we have, to die for our sins. I want you to know how thankful I am to God for you. You mean everything to me, to your family, and to this church. I am thankful for you. And so what I did, just to say thank you and just to remember you and remember how important you are to our youth team, I bought everybody one of these Jamaican bracelets. Okay? Now, I'm going to give you these today when I find the bag after I misplaced it. Okay? Mr. Fuzzy's operating on just a couple hours of sleep, and I'm not really sure where it is. It's in a black bag, so folks, if y'all see it in the front row, we're going to find this, and before you leave church today, I'm going to give you one of these bracelets. And I want you to remember, it wasn't just the high school team that went. You guys went too. And because the money that you provided, you went down there with us in spirit. We knew that you were there. I saw you in the eyes of those children, and I thank God for you. Let's pray together. Father, we are thankful that you remember us. I'm thankful that I could remember these children and the impact that they can have even at their young age for the cause of Christ. Help us to all remember the love of Jesus and his resurrection on the third day. That's why we're here, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you can go back to your seats now.
Jesus Christ is alive.
Would you pray with me? Our Father and our King, we come to worship today and our hearts are full, and we want to express how much we love you and how much we thank you. And words just don't seem to be adequate. So listen to our hearts, even as we sing your praises and even as we read scripture and even as we talk about the joy of Easter morning. Hear our hearts as we lift them to you in just complete praise and celebration. God, we pray that as we're in this place, that you would continue to bless us, not because we deserve it, but because we desire to be yours and because we desire to bless others. Father, we know there are so many that are hurting, even here in this place. For many, it's been a struggle just to get here, but desire deeply to be in worship on Easter Sunday morning. Others desire to be here, but we're not able to get here this morning. And we pray that in this week, this coming week, that we would reach out and touch and bless those who wish they could have been here. God, we know that there are so many aches and pains and hurts and diseases and diagnoses and everything else that trouble our congregation, because we are made up of people with human bodies that fail us sometimes. But we're reminded, even in those human failures, that you're a God who never fails us. That the resurrection body that your Son accomplished at his resurrection is a promise for us. And so in his resurrection, we're given the promise of resurrection ourselves. And Father, that is the reason we're here. That is the reason we worship. That is the reason we celebrate. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
It is a great day, Easter. Christ the Lord is risen today. Our God is not dead. He is surely alive. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. We thank you for your Son who died upon the cross to save us from our sins. We're grateful to be able to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus on this Easter Sunday. Let us be mindful that it was after the resurrection that Jesus gave us the great commission to seek those who are not saved, to make disciples of all nations, to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to teach them to obey your commandments. Give us the knowledge and the faith that when we are sent in your name, we will not fail, and that you will guide us in sharing your message of love. We are grateful for this opportunity to give back a portion of the financial blessings that we have received. Let these gifts be used to further glorify your name. It is in your holy name that we pray. Amen.
He is alive. Say with me, He is alive. That's something that Mary Magdalene missed, at least at the very beginning. She missed it because as she was there in the uncertain light of the tomb outside of the garden there, Mary of the town of Magdala had trouble focusing through eyes filled with tears. No doubt she expressed it through Melissa this morning. I mean, what was she thinking when she came to the grave? She missed the fact at first that he was resurrected because she thought the body had been stolen. She thought grave robbers had come. And who could blame her, quite honestly? The memories of Good Friday must have been incredibly still vivid. The sickening sights and the sounds
of life being stolen away. So a body stolen probably was the reality that confronted her, at least so she thought. Even though John's gospel reveals the presence of two angels there in the tomb, the supernatural didn't even awaken Easter for Mary's faith. The very sight of Jesus standing before her when she turned away from the tomb didn't even accomplish that, because grief-stricken eyes failed to discern who the figure was. She took him to be the gardener. No more, no less, the gardener. You see, Easter's dawning came to Mary not through miracle, not by sight, but through the capacity to remember. You see, when Jesus spoke her name, a voice remembered from before its dying became the voice sounding, resonating in the garden. And a voice that in spite of death still remembered her name. And in remembering, brought Mary to life. The fact that Easter should break free from the exercise of memory is actually quite fitting, because it's a story that sweeps through the entire biblical witness. Time and again, God gave grace. His life-giving grace had been the story of God remembering both people and promises that he had made to his people. You see, God's remembrance really kind of surfaces in the whole book of Genesis, but one story in particular, in the 7th chapter, Genesis recounts the story of the flood. The chapter ends with the destruction at its absolute worst and the waters at their highest. And so at this point, even those enclosed in the ark must have wondered what would happen to them, because 40 days of rain had turned into 150 days at sea. But then something happens. Something that the first verse in chapter 8 expresses this way. It says, "But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and all the domestic animals that were with him in the ark." The flood ends with an exercise of God's memory. Now, at this point, there's kind of an awkward question here. You're thinking, God remembered him. What? Did he forget him? Did he forget Noah? And then he's sitting there on the throne and goes, "I wonder whatever happened to Noah. No, he's still in the boat. He's still in the boat. And he's got all those animals with him. I need to do something to help Noah out." No, that's not the kind of remember that the Bible's talking about. Because when it says God remembered Noah, what that means is God never forgot. God never forgot Noah. God never forgets his people. God remembers the ark back to land. Remembers Noah and his family and the animals back to life. Because you see, remembrance brings with it deliverance. There's another crucial moment in God's redemptive remembering. It comes in Israel's sojourn in Egypt. As you remember, God's people were facing slavery and oppression in Egypt, and a deadly story that unfolds at the beginning chapters of the book of Exodus. But the narrative of deliverance does not begin with Moses confronting Pharaoh. Nor does it really begin with the story of freedom that's expressed with the people crossing a miraculously dry riverbed. No, deliverance began in this way. In the telling of Exodus, it says, "The people of Israel groaned under their bondage, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant." God does not forget his people. He remembered Israel back into life and into freedom. And it's appropriate that Easter's redemptive remembrance, seen here in the encounter between Mary and Jesus in the garden, is not a new way of acting for God. Rather, Easter is God's remembrance that's expressed in resurrection. And Easter faith trusts that what God has done in Jesus Christ through resurrection, what God has done in Jesus, he will remember. He will not forget us. He will do the same in us. Amen? That is the promise of Easter. That is the promise of resurrection. God remembers his people. He doesn't forget us. Point one. Everybody got that one? We'll move on. There's another way to spell remember. You could put a hyphen in it. Remember. What does that do to the word? Remember literally means to put the pieces back together. Oh. To pull together members that have been separated or torn apart. Remembering is what the proclamation of Easter brings to mind and to heart and to faith. You see, life's experiences often give us cause to feel that we're being torn apart, that we've been separated by the things or the persons that would make us whole. I'll give you an example. Just about the time that we see our children grow to young adulthood and our relationship with them matures and we can have these really meaningful conversations, right about that time, they leave. They leave. That hurts. You know, and just when we think we better understand our parents and we can share our lives more fully with them, they show signs of aging and frailty, and the roles begin to reverse a little bit. Just when we've learned to cherish activities that give us joy and challenge, we find our bodies are less able to keep up with the joy and the challenge that we want to experience. And just when we've begun to accumulate a store of knowledge and hopefully assimilate that into wisdom through experience, we find our memories are not always able to keep up with our thoughts. All of these things, it's such memories, it's such members of our lives and our relationships that we find continually slipping away. We find ourselves being torn just a little bit. And when we add in that the mix of the grief that we experience when someone in our lives, a vital part of our lives, dies, we feel that we know the pain of separation all the more acutely. A major way that we address that, and you've probably heard me say this at funerals, is keep their memory alive. How? By telling the stories. Telling the stories of the relationships that you have with them. That's how we keep memories alive. You can't rip apart the memories. Those will always be there. We remember one another. That, in effect, is the way that we continue to restore life, even in the face of death. And what brings us back to Easter's promise of God's remembering of us. That's what brings us back there. Pulling our torn, our separate pieces back into wholeness, back into life that we can fully enjoy in God's presence. For many people, though, the stumbling block for all of Easter relates to the issue of how God is going to resurrect the body once it's been disintegrated. It's amazing how many questions I get about that. You know, how is God going to do that? Should I be cremated or not? Is he going to be able to resurrect me if I'm cremated? And people actually worry about that. And I understand that. They said, wouldn't God be hard-pressed to resurrect me if I'm just a pile of ashes? Let me give you some assurance. That's the least of our worries. That is the least of our worries. A God who generated galaxies and human genomes and the intricacies of the human nervous system out of nothing, trust me, he's got that figured out. He's going to be able to put us back together. He is going to be able to remember us. And when I consider the redemptive power of God's remembering that is Easter's promise, I'm drawn to a time when those who have suffered from Alzheimer's, those who have suffered from arthritic bodies, are set free to reason and to leap with joy and to love once more. And when I consider the redemptive power of God's remembering that is Easter's promise, I envision a place where those entombed in the World Trade Center and the martyred children of Palestine and Israel are free to play, and Asian children who've known nothing but starvation and fear and hopelessness for a few dismal years will be able to sit at a table of bounty with a God who loves them for all time. And when I consider the redemptive power of God's remembering, that is Easter's promise, I think about all those who have lost, who are lost and forgotten by powers and principalities, and too often by our own apathy. And God will remember into life those people into the presence and goodness of God. You see, God's remembering of creation promises to restore wholeness, to fulfill justice, to extend mercy, to bring life as God intended it to be from the very beginning, as God suffered for on the cross, as God would summon us now to live in the light of an empty tomb. An empty tomb. Mary didn't fully grasp what that meant at first. It was only when God remembered to remember her and to remember her. May you and I become the witnesses of this new creation, that we may be those who trust and who serve the God who gives us life, the God who never fails to remember us. Amen. Let's pray together. God, you've promised us that you will never leave nor forsake us. We know that you will not forget us. Father, it serves as a challenge to us. It's a challenge because our desire should be to share that promise, to share that covenant with all who do not know you. It should be a challenge to us to try to outgive you. We know it's not possible, but it should be a challenge to us. For those who've not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, for those who've not heard how much you love them, Father, give us the strength and the courage this week to go out and tell the good news of Jesus Christ so that those who are lost will come to know Christ. Those who have no hope will come to find their hope in Jesus Christ. For it's in His name that we pray. Amen.
Hear the Lord of heaven meeting, Jesus.
Source of our hope is that Jesus saves. If you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus in a personal way, you don't have a personal relationship with him, we're going to stand and sing just a moment, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And I invite you to do just that. If you would like to talk with me about your relationship with Christ, I'll be glad to. I'll be here at the front, or you can call me this week. If you're here and you would like to make a decision to follow Christ, this is your day. I can't think of a more appropriate day to do it. If you're here and you are a believer, but you really haven't been plugged in with God, you feel like you've maybe just been a little bit out of step, this is a good day to talk with him. Say, God, forgive me where I failed you. Put me back in step with you. Lead me in the way that you would have me to go. And if you're here and you say, I'd like to be a part of this congregation, there are many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you about it. I invite you now to take your hymnal, stand with me, and let's sing together, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. I invite you, following the benediction response, look around you. We have some new faces here, a lot of family members in town. It's good to see all of you again. Be sure and greet one another before you leave from this place. Let's pray together. God, you love us. You've promised you'll never forget us. You'll always remember us. Father, help us to remember you, to remember to serve you, and to live out the lives that you have for us as we go from this place. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's R-A-M-O-N @collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.